Welcome, amigos, to episode 94 of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast exclusively available via the Nats GM Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com and the baron of all baseball podcasts. Two things before we are joined by our special guest this week. Our podcast is seeking a sponsor. So if you or someone you know is interested in sponsoring this show, please go to NatsGM.com for further details. And lastly, thank you to our friend Monteezy for doing our intro music. Monteezy will be a guest on our show here in the next few weeks. But right now, thank you for your vocal stylings.
Barry. You are now one-on-one with the Baron, the Baron of the Baseball Podcast, with forever, no other way you can call that, the People's Podcast never ending. You are now one-on-one with the Baron of the Baseball Podcast, with forever, no other way you can call that.
And now I am joined by the field manager of the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. I have John Harris with me. John, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you first and foremost for coming on the show. You're the first manager that I've had the opportunity to interview, so that's great. And you're also the first person in independent baseball that I've had the opportunity to talk to. So I'm pretty anxious to get your take on some of these topics.
Thank you. I feel privileged.
Well, let me start with kind of the $64,000 question, as they call it. But I think most of my audience and even myself probably don't know a lot about independent baseball and, you know, kind of the difference between indie baseball and affiliated ball. So I'd love to just kind of first and foremost get your thoughts and have you tell us a little bit of the differences and similarities.
Well, first of all, independent baseball is really a good avenue for the guys that get released. We have our own league. Atlantic League's probably the best independent baseball league. We don't have a farm system, so one of my duties as a manager is, you know, I have to try to sign all the players. It's very competitive. I compare the Atlantic League probably to double and triple A, the talent level. You know, it's just a good avenue for the kids to get picked up and be seen.
Now, how do you go about finding players that, you know, I don't want to say have slipped through the cracks, but are available for you to sign? I mean, obviously, they're talented baseball players that, you know, if somehow not are with an organization. Now, how do you go about, I guess, recruiting, maybe the right word?
Yeah, it's, you know, this is my 17th year in independent baseball. So over the years, you gather agents, scouts, just, you know, word of mouth. People that have played for you previously are the best recruiters you can have. So it's kind of a network. And, you know, with the social media today, every time a guy from the minor leagues gets released, we all know about it. So it's it didn't used to be like that, but it's getting easier for that way. But it's mostly connections you make and people you know.
Well, I think I'd love to kind of now transition and talk a little bit about the 2017 Blue Crab team and some of the top players that you have on your roster for the season.
Yeah, Zach Cone, an outfielder. He's the number one draft pick by the Rangers, being left field. Gary Brown, another number one pick by the Giants, got some big league time. Corey Vaughn, another outfielder. He's got a lot of AAA time with the Mets. Mike Snyder, Zach Wilson are very good, good Atlantic League players. And our shortstop is Edwin Garcia. He's from Venezuela. He's, you know, a lot of double and triple A time. Third baseman's Patrick Palmeiro, the son of Mr. Palmeiro. And I'm working on the pitching right now, but most of our guys are double, triple A, and have a lot of big league experience that come to this league.
I was going to say, your outfield is absolutely stacked. I remember watching Zach Cone at Georgia and with Katuit in the Cape Cod League. I mean, he is an outstandingly talented player, and goodness, Corey Vaughn was a standout at San Diego State. I mean, you're going to have a really good outfield this year.
I hope so, and that's my philosophy in all this is try to find the best athletes you can that are good baseball players. You know, these guys can all play defense and you know, Zach, all he has to do, if he has a good year offensively, I think, you know, he's such a good athlete. I don't know if he'll be here, but he's just got to put some seasons together where he hits a little better.
So now you said you're working on the pitching staff. Is there any difference between trying to find pitchers and trying to find bats? I mean, you know, certainly I know pitchers get hurt more often than hitters and everything along those lines.
Well, we bring in 14 pitchers. I just signed Pat Minch. He's got 6 years in the big leagues. It's a combination of I prefer younger guys, 26 to 28 range, where a lot of pitchers in this league are in their 30s. But I like to go the younger route. And it's just you got to get a good mix of young and old and obviously guys that throw strikes and just want to compete.
Well, and one of the challenges that you have that maybe the, you know, the major league teams or even the minor league teams don't face is having to replace players at during the season. I mean, you know, certainly it's a tough thing, but you want to see these guys sometimes, you know, jump up a level and so forth. But how do you go about, you know, mid-season trying to replace a starting pitcher or trying to replace your closer? I mean, that's got to be probably one of, if not the toughest thing about your job.
Yeah, that is the hardest part, and I'm glad you mentioned that. I've already lost two infielders to organizations within the last month. But I want that. You know, a lot of people try to get older guys that don't, you know, kind of past their prime but are still good baseball players. But I want the young guys that still want to play and still want to get picked up. You just kind of network, just keep people's names in the back of your mind, and, you know, you just kind of take it day by day in this business because, you could lose three or four guys in one day or you may not. You just kind of got to roll with the punches.
Well, and I'd love to get your take a little bit on the giving an insight a little bit into being a manager, not necessarily independent baseball or affiliated baseball, but, you know, from the time the men walk into the clubhouse until the time they leave, a little bit of kind of your responsibilities. I think we as fans can observe you a little bit from, you know, first inning to the last pitch, but I'm guessing a lot more goes into it before the first pitch and after the final one.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty easy to play for. I'm obviously older. I'm 62, and I think I like the way the older school thing, you know, I like guys that are real professional. But once the game starts, I think that's the player's time to shine. I mean, I don't ever restrict them or, you know, just let them, as long as they play hard and, you know, just 140 games is a grind. You don't get too up and down about it. Just, you know, as long as they show some effort and they're good teammates, that's pretty important.
Well, and what are some of your what do you like best about independent baseball, and kind of what keeps you coming back, and, you know, what are the most rewarding aspects of, you know, either managing or playing in indie ball?
Well, first, I like having my own guys I sign. I think, you know, I take a lot of responsibility. It's I don't want anybody else signing my players, and it's just a good brand of baseball. And if you get the right mix, these guys are here for a reason. They're just, you know, they're not going through the motions, and you know, you come to a place like Southern Maryland, it's a nice town, and you just want to put a good product out, and the Atlantic League's a great league. So it's a lot of fun, like stressful at times when you start losing players, but, you know, it's what we do and what I like to do.
Well, and something I'd love to ask a manager, and something that we've, I don't know if baseball nerds is a fair way to put it, but something that's really been talked about is closer usage and bullpen usage the last, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. We've heard, you know, we've got to have a closer, and the closer's got to pitch the ninth inning and things of that nature. And I think there's been a little bit of a backlash. I'd love to get your insights into why the bullpen usage is done in the traditional way. I mean, so many things in baseball are done for a reason, and there's a great reason behind it. I'd love to hear your take a little bit on some of that.
Well, a closer's a closer. I think that's the guy that kind of needs to know, you know, late in the game. And probably up till then, guys got to be versatile. You know, back when I played, them guys would, nobody was really one inning specialist, but the game has become that. And guys, they seem to thrive on when they know their roles. But closer's a pretty big part of baseball right now, but I think you got to have two or three guys that can close because, you know, he can't close every night. So you just got to have a little flexibility down there and, you know, hopefully pitch well.
So would you consider using the closer in your traditional closer in the seventh or eighth inning role? Or is that just And you kind of alluded to it is, you know, the closer's the closer, and I'd just like to have you elaborate a little bit on that.
I think, you know, only time I see people doing this in the playoffs or World Series, I don't think I would do it during the season. But if we got in the playoffs, yeah, I mean, you know, four game or seven game series, it's a little different, but you just don't see it that much during the season. It's a, like I said, it's a grind. I think the closer's there for his reason, and then you just have a bunch of guys that sometimes you got to lose your ego, whether you pitch sixth, seventh, or eighth, really doesn't matter. And you just got to find the right mix.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. If I can transition a bit off of that, I think famously about a year ago, the book The Only Rule Is It Has to Work came out, kind of describing two baseball guys taking over the GM spot for an independent team, certainly several levels below you know, the competition Southern Maryland is playing. But I'm curious if you've gotten a chance to read the book, your thoughts on it. Has it had any impact at the independent level, and just kind of your thoughts?
No, I really haven't read it. You brought it up a little while ago. Maybe you could tell me a little bit more about it, but I'll check it out once I leave here. But no, I haven't even heard of that, really.
All right. Well, I will send you the copy. How about that? I'll send it through our good mutual friend, Josh, and then maybe later on we could talk about it. But I guess what I want to finally kind of close with is just a little bit of a preview of the Atlantic League, who are going to be some of your top competition this year, and help sell everybody to get out to the ballpark this year.
Well, the powers in the past are the Long Islands, the Somersets. But, you know, the Atlantic League, it's solid. There's no, you know, any night, all these teams are getting better and better and better because everybody wants to play in the Atlantic League. So top to bottom, it's a good league. You know, it's a team that kind of, you know, has less injuries, less guys get picked up. You know, in 140 games, a lot of good things have to happen. But the league is solid. But Somerset and Long Island have been the perennials. But, we, you know, we hope to change that eventually.
All right, and my final question for you, and something I always like to ask my guests, is just maybe a nugget or a piece of wisdom that you would like to share with baseball fans, particularly, you know, from your perspective as a manager and been in baseball for so long, something that maybe we, as, you know, the casual fans on the outside of these lines, don't understand or can't understand, or something along those lines.
Nowadays, it's about communication, and the bottom line, any coach would tell you good players make good coaches. So, and you got to have a good clubhouse. You know, you got to have people that are on the same page. And I think you just got to create an atmosphere that's fun for them and just communicate with them and you know, let them play.
Well, Skipper, thank you so very much for your time. I've got a couple more questions, but I think this is a good place for us to wrap it here. And I'd love to kind of just give you a plug, sell everybody to come out to see the Blue Crabs this summer.
Yes, I know this is a great organization. Me and my pitching coach, James Frisby, we've worked hard on this roster. It's my first year in Atlantic League, so we're all excited. And, you know, I hope they come out and give us a chance because I think it'll be a fun summer.
Well, you guys have quite a roster, and I'm looking forward to catching a few games this summer. So, Coach, Manager, Skip, thank you so much for joining me, and have a great season.
All right, Ryan, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Thank you. And as you just heard, that was episode 94 of the Nats GM Show with our special guest, Southern Maryland Blue Crab manager, John Harris. Thank you to John for joining the show, and also thank you to my producer, Josh, for coordinating and putting us together for that special interview. Thank you. I greatly enjoyed that. Thank you guys both. Before we conclude this week, one quick favor, if I might. Please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to the Nats GM Show on iTunes. It only takes a moment or two of your time, and it does help us gather additional listeners and a larger audience to our show. So if you could do that, I'd really, really greatly appreciate it, guys. Thank you so very much. With that, we are done for this week. The show is a wrap. Bye for now.
The Baron. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. The Baron of the Baseball Podcast. Baron of the Baseball Podcast. Yeah. The Baron.
speaking for the awareness. Truth has been spoken, the people say it's apparent. Wake up every day to the voice of the leader. The home run, strike out, the bearer, the teacher. I am a natural, my podcast has been the national. Bryce Harper power, Ken Griffey with attitude. No more than most, I am built for the stage. Every time I speak facts without turning the page. Let me explain, I'm like Babe Ruth, I call the shots. Speaking to all my people, this message will never stop. Home run, every show, bringing in every fact. This feeling will overcome and I'm never turning it back. The Baron, the people's podcast in this win. The benefactor of benefit, know the truth is within. The Baron, speaking for awareness. The truth has been spoken, the people always say it's apparent. You feel me? The people's podcast never ending. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the baseball podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The people's podcast never ending. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the baseball podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The Baron, speaking for the awareness. Truth has been spoken, the people say it's apparent. Wake up every day to the voice of the leader. The home run, strike out, the Baron, the teacher. I am a natural, my podcast has been the national. Bryce Harper power, Ken Griffey with attitude. No more than most, I am built for the stage. Every time I speak facts without turning the page. Let me explain, I'm like Babe Ruth, I call the shots. Speaking to all my people, this message will never stop. Home run, every show, bringing in every fact. This feeling will overcome and I'm never turning it back. The Baron, the people's podcast in this win. The benefactor of benefit, know the truth is within. The Baron, speaking for awareness. The truth has been spoken, the people always say it's apparent. You feel me? The people's podcast never ending. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the baseball podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that. The people's podcast never ending. You are now one-on-one with the Baron. The Baron of the baseball podcast. With forever, no other way you can call that.